Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At this time, I've invited some people to help us with this reading. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to the father,
"Father, give me the share of the property that belongs to me."
So he divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said,
"How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'"
So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him,
"Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son."
But the father said to his slaves,
"Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked, "What's going on?" He replied,
"Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound."
Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. So he answered his father,
"Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him."
Then the father said to him,
"Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Thank you. This time I'd like to invite the children to come up. Hi. Do any of you ride bicycles?
Me.
Do you ride a bicycle? Anybody? All of you?
Not Grace.
You don't ride a bicycle?
I fell on my face.
Did you? All right. Well, what did you start out just getting on the bicycle and riding?
Some days we ride a bicycle. Now we don't ride
you know?
Bicycles.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Well, the first time you got on a bicycle, what did you tell me about it? Can you?
I fell on
You fell off? Did you ever have training wheels on your bike?
Yeah.
You still have them?
I don't have them anymore.
Don't have them anymore? What happens if when you take them off? You fall. Simple as that, isn't it? Yeah. Well, there are other things we have to learn the hard way too, aren't there? Sometimes, when we have a little baby, what do you feed a little baby? Do you give them steak and eggs?
No.
Why don't you give them a like hamburger?
They can't chew it.
They can't chew it, you're right. They need something, what do they need?
Milk.
Milk. They need something easy that they can, they don't have to chew on. Because
they don't have any teeth.
And besides that, if they ate too much, what would they do? They would choke, wouldn't they? So just like with a bicycle, you need training wheels to keep you up. Well, when we learn to eat, sometimes we have to learn with milk, and then what's the next thing you get to eat?
Baby food.
Baby food. Yum. Right?
Yeah.
Well, there was a time when you liked it, though, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you liked, what do you like to eat now?
Big kid food.
Big kid food. What?
Dash burgers.
Dash burgers? Is anybody into pizza? Hot dogs? Yeah. See? Yeah. But sometimes we start with the little stuff that the little kids do, and then we get to do the big kid stuff, right? Well, God calls the children of Israel, and you'll have to listen to the sermon today a little more than normal, because in the sermon we learn about these Israelites who had to start the training wheels. All right? So they were just like you and me. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us training wheels. Thank you, God, for leading us in your way and giving us new opportunities to do the big kid stuff and to eat the big kid's food. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. It would seem to me that most of our ancestors needed training wheels too. I know mine did. My grandparents all came over from the old country and didn't speak a word of English. And I imagine that's true with many of your ancestors. They didn't speak any English. They needed somebody who acted like training wheels, helping them to learn the language and learn how to talk, learn how to communicate with other people. But it wasn't just the language. There were other things that they needed help with. I know that when they came to this country, there wasn't much lutefisk around. And many of them couldn't have lived without their lutefisk. Yet, when they came, they had to learn to cook with venison or buffalo, or cook things they'd never cooked before. So they had to learn the hard way, but there was always someone there to help them walk that path. Well, the same thing was true with the children of Israel. When they left Egypt, they had to have some training wheels too, and God provided them with that. Their first complaint, of course, was that they didn't have any food. So day after day, God provided manna that came down so that they had something to eat. And he provided water for them to drink, and quail for them to eat, and protection from snake bites and all kinds of other horrible things that could happen to you out in the wilderness. And Joshua tells us that when they came into the promised land, after the first year of harvest, the manna stopped. The training wheels were gone. They no longer needed them. They could do it themselves. All of this comes to them as a gift of God. Something that they took for granted. After they had been there a while, you know, just like the manna and the water, they kind of took for granted that it was going to be there. And when it wasn't, they would complain. Well, it always was. But when they got tired of it, they complained. When they get into the new land, now they can produce their own. They can have their own food. They can have their own water. They can have all of the things that they really wanted. They didn't need the help that they had before. But the problem was they forgot where it all came from. They kind of forgot that God had led them out of Egypt. God had provided them with food and water. And that God had provided them with this new land. It's hard for us to even imagine. And the question that God must have asked is, did I just waste my grace upon them? It's the question that's at the back of Paul's mind as he writes our second reading. He's created this church in Corinthia, and he has gone on to Ephesus. And from there he hears the word that the people have become involved in immorality, have been bickering and fighting, have not been following the way of God. They no longer have him there as their training wheels. And in that sense, they have lost their understanding of God's grace. And Paul calls them back and he says, now, you are a new creation in Christ. You're not that old person who used to be. You are a new creation. And in Christ, you are indeed a new creation. In Christ, a new creation. In Christ, we are made new. For Christ, the Lord of nations, is calling me and you. In Christ, a new creation is rising from the old. Let's start the celebration and let our lives unfold. In Christ, a new creation. In Christ, we are made new. The reconciliation at last is coming true. In Christ, a new creation. Ambassadors are we. Every nation and set the captives free. In Christ, a new creation. In Christ, we are made new. We feel the liberation. We feel God's presence too. In Christ, a new creation. Reborn to live again. We sing for our salvation. We sing the great Amen. In the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, what our reading today was from the fifth chapter, but in the sixth chapter, Paul begins by saying, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Wow, what a warning. A warning that we too may waste God's grace when we take it in vain, when we forget how important it is. And if you want to talk about wasteful grace, our gospel is just loaded with it. My word, you've got the younger son, who wants his share of the inheritance now. He's not going to wait. He goes off, squanders it, ends up feeding pigs and eating with the pigs. And that's when he finally comes to the conclusion, my father's slaves have it better than I have. And so he returns and grovels for his father's help. Even willing to become a slave again for himself. Now that's one of the prodigals, but there's another prodigal. And that's the older brother. Here is an older brother who has had everything of his father's. In fact, everything that his father has left after he's given his younger son stuff is all going to be the older son's. He's had it all this time. He could have used it, or in fact increased it, so that when his father dies, he'd have even more. And yet, he blew it. He's another prodigal. But then there is the father. Now, this parable could easily be called the prodigal father. Because, think about it, this father didn't have to give his younger son anything. A father, especially in those days, had absolute control over those kids. He could kick his son out. He could have just said, stay put and work. No. He gives in to his son and lets him go off, and he knows he's going to be in trouble. And then, when the son comes back, where's the father? Well, the father is at the door watching to see if he can find his son. And when he sees him, he races after him and he wraps him in his arms. Now, this kid has been feeding pigs. I fed pigs. I know what that's like. It wasn't pretty. He didn't smell pretty. He was disgusting. And yet he wraps his arms around him and he kisses him. Yuck! And then he calls the servants to put a ring on his finger, and I'm sure he gave him a bath first. Put a new robe on him and kill the fatted calf and have a party. Wow. Now there's the prodigal father. And that is our Father. Our Heavenly Father, who loves us so much that despite what kind of a pig pen we've been living in, what kind of sins we've committed, no matter how far away we have strayed, every time we come back to Him, He wraps His arms around us. And every time we kneel at that altar, He says, this is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sin. Welcome home, my child. Welcome home. Now, if that isn't good news, I don't know what is. So that's the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we come home to become a new creation. Not the old, but a new creation in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hymn number 779.